Welcome to the next episode of the podcast, An Approved Workman, where we are rightly dividing the word of truth. Hello, my name is Jose Figueroa, and I want to thank you for listening today. For more information on this podcast, you can go to my website, www.anapprovedworkman.org. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Workman Approved. Today, we will have our introductory lesson in our new study, which I title Majoring in the Minors. It's a study of the minor prophets. And the question is, why are we going to study the minor prophets? It's an excellent question. First of all, I do love studying the Old Testament. I believe that the principles and the imagery and the prophecy and everything that points to our reality and God's self-revelation to us through his book is important. However, if you're a regular member of a church, a regular attender of a church, if you visit with regularity, most of the preaching and teaching that is done is centered around the New Testament. Most likely, you won't hear a sermon out of Malachi unless the subject is tithing, or one from Micah until it's Christmas time. You might get the story of Jonah in Sunday school, but not an in-depth study of the book. I don't necessarily have a problem with this approach. The focus of the New Testament is on Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. And there is no more important task in our world today than a clear and bold proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Billy Graham, who is known as probably the most famous evangelist in our world, in our generation, and even in all generations after the Apostle Paul, went to be with the Lord this past Wednesday. And it was amazing to me, the tributes and the thankfulness of the people. And it was all centered because his message and his work was centered on the cross of Christ, on preaching the gospel. And there's no more important task than that. So I don't necessarily have a problem with the fact that we don't hear a lot of sermons or studies on the Old Testament, because we do need to be preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel because the time is near. And that's okay. However, I also know that all scripture is breathed by God and profitable for his people. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And I believe when we as Christians neglect the reading and teaching of the Old Testament, I feel we're missing on something God wants us to know. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So all scripture is important. That's one reason that we should be studying the minor prophets that are part of the Old Testament. Another reason that we should be studying scripture is that all scripture points to Christ. Jesus himself said that all of the Old Testament points to him. Luke 24:44, when he appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, he said, this is what Luke 24:44 says. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In John 5:39, in the middle of another argument with the Pharisees, Jesus rebuked them and said to them, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And at that time, there was no New Testament. Jesus had not yet returned to heaven in his ascension. So all they had was the scriptures, the Old Testament. So all scripture is important. All scripture points to Christ. So I think that's why it's important to study the minor prophets. And that's why I've thought about this project for a number of years now. And I finally decided that this year, 2018, is a year we're going to do this as part of this Approved Workman podcast. And we're going to go deep into the minor prophets and get everything we can out of them. I hope you're ready to join me. And let's talk about the minor prophets themselves. What is the timeline of Israel? Just one note, these are 12 books. There are 12 books in this set of the minor prophets. They are in order of timeline. You look at Obadiah, Joel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And that's kind of in the order of where they happen in the timeline. And they're classified as a minor prophets, not because they're lesser in importance than the books that are considered the major prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Lamentations, which was written by Jeremiah. So typically they group those as the major prophets, but it has nothing to do with the importance of the content. It has to do with the length. So in general, these books, these minor prophets, are shorter in content, in length, than those books of the major prophets. For example, Jeremiah has 52 chapters, Isaiah has 66, Ezekiel has 48 chapters, and even Daniel with 12 chapters has a lot of depth in terms of the content and the vision and the prophecy. And we went, if you've been with us since the beginning, that was our first study, an in-depth look at the book of Daniel. So anyway, so that's why it's important. So let's take a look at the timeline for the minor prophets. I'm very thankful to Pine Lake Church in Missouri in the United States. I have this fantastic chart that we'll share on the blog post that goes with this podcast, because I did a fantastic job of laying out not only the prophets in the timeline and the year, but also how they align with the kings and from both the northern kingdom. So just to get started, if you recall, Israel was a united kingdom after Samuel. Samuel was the last judge, and he was in charge of God's people as the last judge, and the people demanded to have a king. That was the first time. Until that time, after the conquest of the promised land with Joshua, the tribe settled. After Joshua's death, they were ruled by men, and in some cases women. They were called judges until they decided finally that they had enough and they wanted to have a king to be like the other nations. So in essence, they rejected God from being their king and their leader to Samuel's sadness, but the Lord instructed him to anoint a new king for his people. So you might know that, of course, King Saul was the first chosen king. But again, he disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord took the kingdom away from him, gave it to King David, which is still considered the greatest king in Jewish history. And then David, when he died, the kingdom went to his son Solomon, the son he had with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. So after David's great sin and the death of the child that was conceived with Bathsheba, Solomon was born to them, and then it's Solomon who ends up with the United Kingdom. But Solomon, even though he had a great start and he was blessed with wisdom and riches before beyond anybody, was lured away from the Lord in his late years, and then God prophesied that the kingdom would be split. And if you know some of the history of the timeline of Israel, you know that only two tribes remain in the southern kingdom, with Solomon's son Rehoboam. So those were the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. The other 10 tribes split from the kingdom. The kingdom was split, and then they became the northern kingdom. So you end up having a split kingdom, a divided kingdom. The kingdom of Judah with two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and the rest of the tribes form the northern kingdom. And the southern kingdom still kept Jerusalem as the capital city. That's where the temple was, the temple built by Solomon. But then the northern kingdom established their capital in the city of Samaria, and that's why they established false worship. They established a temple, but it wasn't the true worship of the Lord. But anyway, so that's the context of the prophets, and that's the context of the minor prophets. So you will see that we're going to run as we look deep into these minor prophets, that we're going to see that the context is the minor kingdom, the split kingdom. And some key dates here, for example, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. So from the time of Rehoboam taking over as king of Israel from his father Solomon, 931 BC, the northern kingdom fell in 722 BC. And that basically eliminated the 10 tribes from the control of the promised land. Then the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, persisted all the way through 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the city and took the people captive. So that was the end of the southern kingdom. So Our study of the minor prophets is going to encompass from that divided kingdom all the way through the Babylonian captivity. But then there were three prophets that are considered post-exile prophets. Those are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, as we saw in the book of Daniel, the people returned, and then they were encouraged to rebuild the temple, eventually rebuild the city. But then Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi kind of covered that post-exilic period. And Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So with Malachi, when we get to Malachi, you will see that that will start the period of 400 years of silence. The people of Israel didn't hear from God again for 400 years directly through a prophet until John the Baptist appeared on the scene as we look at the book of Matthew. But that should give you an idea of where the minor prophets stand, those eventful times, the United Kingdom, the split of the kingdoms, the Assyrian captivity for the northern kingdom in 722 BC, and then the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC, and then they returned after the exile of 70 years. So this is, again, this chart will be on the website. Something interesting is, as we look at the minor prophets, for example, Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. And then if you look at Habakkuk, he was a contemporary of Jeremiah, and also Ezekiel and Daniel. So you can see some of that. They kind of coexist and correlate, and we'll get into some of that as we go into each of the books. So let's take a look at who are these minor prophets. Let's kind of run the list here on the list. And this is the order we're going to follow in the study. This is the chronological order they're listed in the Bible. I thought about doing it in terms of the timeline, but I decided that we're going to take our approach and we'll just run them in order. So let's take a look. The first one is Hosea. And when we start next week, we'll start with the study of the book of Hosea. His name means salvation. And the theme is God's steadfast love for Israel. He wrote to the northern kingdom, to Israel. He prophesied during the kingdoms, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Jeroboam II in northern Israel, in the northern kingdom. Joel, whose name means Yahweh is God, his theme is the day of the Lord, and he was preaching primarily to Judah, to the southern kingdom. He prophesied during the reign of King Jehoash, or Joash, that's also known. Jehoash is also known as Joash. Amos, who was a shepherd, his name means burden bearer, and his theme is preaching against social evils and idolatry. He preached to both Israel and to Judah, and he prophesied during the reign of Uzziah and Jeroboam II. Obadiah, his name means the servant of the Lord, is one of the shortest books of the Bible. He has a very short, it's one chapter, and his focus is the judgment of Edom. And he wrote to Edom during the reign of Jehoram. So Edom, of course, are the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. So this battle that Jacob and Esau had eventually made Israel and Edom stand against each other, and eventually God judged Edom for the cruelty against their brother Israel. Jonah, probably the best known of the minor prophets because of the story of Jonah and the big fish. And if you have spent any time in Sunday school, you know a lot about Jonah. His name means dove, and I didn't know that. I mean, all these years hearing about the study of Jonah, I never thought about what his name means, but his name means dove. And if you recall, he is chartered with to the preaching of Nineveh. And then the theme there, that God cares not only for the Israelites, but also for the whole world, because God has compassion. And he sent Jonah to preach to the Gentile nation. And you know the story, again, if you're in Sunday school, how Jonah tried to get away from God, and that didn't quite work out for him. Micah, his name is Who's Like Yahweh. His preaching is divine judgment against evil. He preached to the kingdom of Judah during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Nahum, whose name means consolation, actually preaches also to Nineveh about 100 years later after Jonah did. And this time, even though when Jonah preached, the Ninevites repented and they came back, 100 years later, all that had gone by the wayside. And Nahum this time is preaching on the destruction of Nineveh. This happened during the reign of Manasseh in Judah. Habakkuk, whose name means embracer. The theme there is understanding God's character and sovereignty. He's preaching to the kingdom of Judah during the reign of Jehoiakim. Zephaniah, whose name means the Lord hides, preaching on judgment and repentance to the kingdom of Judah during the time of good King Josiah. And then we get into the last three in order, the post-exile prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And Haggai means my feast, and he's really encouraging the people to rebuild God's temple, to put God's things first. He wrote to the kingdom of Judah after the exile. All that is left is the people of Judah. So he's under, at that time, there are no more kings in Judah, but Governor Zerubbabel, who led the first group of exiles returning from Babylon. At that time, the Persians had taken over. So you remember Cyrus had a decree to send the Jewish people back to Jerusalem and back to rebuild the temple. So Zerubbabel led that first exile back. And Haggai is preaching to the people, because after they got back, they kind of focused themselves on just doing their own thing and not giving God priority. Haggai was joined by Zechariah, whose name means Yahweh remembers. And he's also joining Haggai in the call to rebuild God's temple under Governor Zerubbabel. But Zechariah is also interesting because, other than Isaiah, Zechariah has the most messianic prophecies and references in the book. So other than Isaiah, out of the prophets, this one has a lot of information on the Messiah himself, on Jesus Christ. So there is a lot of information about him at the end time. So we'll get into that when we study the book of Zechariah. Finally, last but not least, is Malachi, whose name means my messenger, and it's a message of rebuke and repentance. This is about 100 years after Haggai and Zechariah. And if you look at the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah had two turns as governor of Judah. First, when he went back to rebuild the wall and reestablish the worship, working with Ezra. Then he was recalled to the court by the king of Persia. But then he got a second term when he returned. So very likely the issues Nehemiah had to deal with on both of his terms as governor. So it's very likely Malachi is preaching in between that time of Nehemiah's return. So that gives you a little idea of who these 12 men were, what their message was, the context of it. And as we go into each of the books, we will take a look at it. As I like to do with other studies, I like to look at other godly men who have spent their time on their studies. And I found a couple of great resources on these books, on the 12 minor prophets. So we will leverage those as we go forward. But let's take a look at the message of the minor prophets. First, this is from the commentary done by Dr. James Montgomery Boyce on the minor prophets. And this is volume 1, Hosea to Jonah. He said, quote, "The minor prophets dramatize the character of God as few other books in the Bible do. They particularly highlight three aspects of God's character: his sovereignty, his holiness, and his love," end quote. So this is very interesting that you have 12 books, but they all kind of circle around the same thing. God is sovereign. Everything that happens is under his control. There are no surprises to God. God is in charge. There is no plan B with God. He has a plan. You also exalt his holiness. I mean, as we will go through these books, you will see that a constant theme of the prophets is calling people back to righteousness, back to holiness, back to holy devotion to the Lord. And that's a theme that shouldn't be lost on God's people today. I mean, we're still called to live holy lives, to be distinct from the world. I mean, Romans 12:1-2 says that we're supposed to be living sacrifice. Our body should be living sacrifice. We should be not conformed to the world, but renewed to God's purposes by the renewing of our mind. So that's still is important. And then finally, the third theme of this minor prophecy is God's love. So yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he has to deal with sin because he's holy, but also it's his love. And you will see this theme of calling men and women back to repentance, a theme of restoration, a theme of the saying, it's okay, you can still turn back to me. So we will see that spread out through all the books of the set of the 12 minor prophets. In his commentary on the minor prophets, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said the following: "When you compare them with the books written by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, the minor prophets are minor only in size. The message that the minor prophets wrote are of major importance. In fact, Their messages ought to fill us with wonder. Too many sleepy saints have lost their sense of wonder. The minor prophets should shout at us to awaken us and invite us to open our eyes and be amazed at what God is doing in this world. End quote. Finally, from the MacArthur Bible Commentary by John MacArthur, he tells us, quote, God's dealing with Israel dominated the pages of the major and minor prophets, but several books, Daniel, Obadiah, Jonah, and Nahum, have as their subjects God's work in Gentile world history. The other prophetic books look beyond Israel from time to time to now how God's chosen nation will impact the rest of the nations or how God will judge nations, end quote. So that's it. You take a look at the themes, the holiness of God, the sovereignty of God, the love of God, and then how God is dealing with Israel primarily, but also with the nations, because God's salvation was always intended to be for all the nations. So that's an introduction to our study. As I said, we're going to be referencing the commentary work by Dr. James Montgomery Boyce on the 12 minor prophets. Also, three commentaries by Dr. Warren Wiersbe on the Old Testament minor prophets, and then the MacArthur Bible commentary. So I'm excited about this project. I hope you are too. So I want to thank you for listening today. In our next episode, we will get started in earnest with our study by beginning our look at the book of Hosea. So I will encourage you to go ahead and read on the book of Hosea. Read it from cover to cover if you can, or at least get started. And as we get going with this study. Until then, this is Jose Figueroa for an approved workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God richly bless you.